Well, we've turned to Colossians 1 tonight. Continue with that very, very wonderful chapter. The prayer is in verse 10 that they might walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, that is, unto all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the full knowledge of God. Could be by the full knowledge, but either way is all right. Growing in the full knowledge of God. I can't help but remark here at this point that our lives need the dynamic interaction of this growth thing. I'm not so much concerned what is going on in your lives as I am that there is something going on. There is a vitality here, an interaction, you see. There's not stagnation at a point of crystallized creedalism. we don't want that crystallized creed. We want a growing, living thing. You're up and down, and you're in and out, and you're fighting with the Lord, and you're succumbing to the Lord, and everything is just sometimes topsy-turvy, but there is life and growth and health there. Sometimes you might even get into a little argument with the Lord, and doesn't hurt you to argue with him and not talk to him at all. it's healthy. It's a healthy thing. He usually wins out. What I'm interested in is this fine vitality of interaction with Christ, rather than just tying a thing down to some religious practice. That's what we mean by growing in the full knowledge of God. And you're not going to get that full knowledge without growth and experience. You see, the experience is a part of growth. And as you live out your life every day and run into things that you can't handle, things that send you on your ear and put you in a tailspin, these are the things that are building in you the full knowledge of God. Being empowered in all power, the way this reads in the Greek text, verse 11. Being powered with all power, according to the might or the strength of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father. The difference between patience and long-suffering is simply that patience usually involves things, and long-suffering usually involves people. You are patient in circumstances and long-suffering toward people. And this is with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has made you sufficient. Notice that he has made you sufficient unto the portion of the share or inheritance of the saints in light. When you step into Christ's kingdom, he sees to it that you are equipped to meet these circumstances. You are sufficient for them in him. Don't ever get away from him, or you won't be, but you are in him. And you get some pretty rough curves thrown at you. As I said, things that will knock you on your ear. But the promise here is that we have all the power we need to meet this, to meet these circumstances, which circumstances can become very complex, very tangled. But we have the power, the sufficiency to meet them in Christ, because we're dealing with power, not piousity. So you're sufficient, all right, for that portion of the inheritance which is yours, among the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness. The power is is the King James word here, but the Greek word authority. He has delivered you from the authority of the dark of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You're already translated into His kingdom. You have not realized all the future aspects of that kingdom, but you're already there, right now. So lay hold of what is yours by the grace of God. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the first begotten of all creation, because in him, by him probably, were created all things in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulerships or authorities, all things are through him and for his sake were created. And he himself is before all things, and all things stand together in him. And he himself is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the first begotten of the dead, that in all things he may become preeminent. Because in him it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, that is, whether things upon the earth or in the heavens. And you, then being aliens and enemies in your minds, in your evil works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. And then get this last statement, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable before him. If indeed you continue in the faith founded and established and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached in all creation, those under heaven, of whom I have become a minister, I, Paul, have become a minister. Well, the great underlying theme here, of course, is that it is the power of God within us that brings about the reconciliation. And we're kidding ourselves to think we're going to get it in any other way. The changing of our lives. How is it that God can speak of bringing us holy and unblameable and unreprovable before him? That's a long way off from the average person on the earth. To be holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Only the power of God can do this. And I say to you again, as I said before, that if you are not at the place of desperation as regards the development of your life, the Lord will bring you there as sure as the world. He's not going to let you get away with feeling that you were part of the cause, at least, of your own perfections. He's going to rub your nose in the dirt until you realize that apart from him, you just aren't going to make it. But with him, you're going to make it completely. Because he has promised that he's going to make you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Not in the sight of the rule makers, but in his sight. He's the one that calls the shots. And he looks beyond the exterior to the deep heart of the person. And sees there, of course, things that we don't even see in ourselves. So you're talking here about a position of power in the hands of the one who had the power to create the heaven and the earth, and who had the power to become the first one to rise from the dead. Well, he has the power, all right, to handle your life and mine if we'll keep it in his hand. Don't run off from him. Don't panic. Just keep it there. Well, Satan throws up quite a terrific battle in these days. As I have said before, one of his great weapons is discouragement. If he can get you discouraged enough so that you'll give up praying, give up reading the Word, he's got you where he wants you. I cannot emphasize this enough. Don't give up praying or reading the Word, no matter how badly you feel. You may not feel that you're worthy of coming into the Lord's presence, but never mind about that. Just come in anyway. He wants you there. Well, this is the picture of Christ. It's the only kind of picture that really appeals to me. The idea that I should be responsible, at least in part, to put the life together would leave me frustrated. I would just throw my hands up and say, well, it's too bad. I guess it'll never get put together. But there is no doubt about this teaching. We've met it in Ephesians, in Philippians, and here in Colossians, and you'll meet it all the way through the New Testament, that without Christ we can do nothing. He's got all the qualifications. He's been through everything, even death, and come out the other side, and now he has all the qualifications to meet our needs. Just come to the Lord. Don't try to shape yourself up first. Get yourself in order. Get all these hang-ups taken care of. Just come to him the way you are. And let him take care of the hang-ups in your life. Well, read the chapter. Read it prayerfully. And ask God to show you in your heart that which you need from this portion. You will find a rich blessing, a great joy in your heart from dwelling on the fact that Jesus Christ is the center of this universe and has the power to recreate our own hearts. Nothing short of that is worthy of the name of Christ. I meet so many defeated Christians, and I like to show them the grounds of their victory. And it is not in just telling them to shape themselves up and, you know, just take themselves by the back of the neck and do better. It's not the answer.